ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले
स्वयं रूपागदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सागररघुनाथं विदं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणललिता श्रीशान्वितं च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरवी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so everybody forgot about Bhagavad Gita. Anybody read any verses, old verses or new verses in the last 2 weeks?
Oh.
Okay.
Should we read the English translation for all the verses?
So anybody read anything?
Whatever you have, whatever you have covered, I have read.
Okay.
Nothing new.
Okay.
In the YouTube, Mataji, there is a full translation, Hindi and English version of the Bhagavad Gita. So they just read the translation one after other without non-stop.
The Sanskrit?
Yeah, so whenever I get time, I just...
Keep hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have Sanskrit?
It works on iPhone.
They have Sanskrit and also the translation.
There is a app for Sanskrit plus translation.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is in YouTube. So
in YouTube.
Okay.
That's only translation.
Okay.
Only translation, Hindi translation.
Hindi and there is a English version too.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They read out from here. Yeah, exactly. Translation.
Yeah. Anybody wants, you can take reference from Sahutra. Okay, so we'll read translation once.
Yeah, just we'll read the translation.
Dhritarashtra said, O Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do?
Sanjaya said, O King, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words.
O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada.
Here in the army are many heroic bowmen, equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Duryodhana, Virata and Drupada.
There are also great heroic powerful fighters like Dhrishtaketu, Sekitana, Kasiraja, Puruji, Kundiboja and Saibya.
There are the mighty Yudhamanya, the very powerful Uttamauja, the son of Subhadra and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters.
But for your information, O best of the Brahmanas, let me tell you about the caption who are especially qualified to lead my visual foods.
There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna and son of Somadatta called Bhuriswara, who are always victorious in battle.
There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science.
Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by Grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited.
All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army.
Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy.
After that, conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets and horns were suddenly sounded, and combined sound was tumultuous.
On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conch shells.
Lord Krishna blew his conch shell, called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell, called Pounga.
What is Krishna's conch shell name?
Panchajanya.
King Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell. The Ananta Vijaya, the Nakula and Sakadeva blew the Sukosa and Manipuspaka. The great archer, the king of Kasi, the great fighter Sikandi, Dhrishtadyumna, Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki, Drupada, the sons of Draupadi and others. O king, such as the mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective consoles.
The blowing of these different consoles became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Subhadra.
I think that's where this
So that's where I think 19th, yeah.
So what are some of the signs of victory on Pandava side?
The presence of Krishna.
Then?
And conch shell.
Why is there special?
Transcendental
conch shell.
So also in the text 19, right? Prabhupada in the purport, it says, last line, he says, one who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. Can you remember any of the great personalities who went through the greatest calamity, but they were not? Any other personality? Who took shelter of the Lord?
Prabhupada himself also.
Draupadi is one. Because at that time, right, when they were pulling her sari, so completely she gave. And also Ambarish Maharaj, right? Ambarish Maharaj, you know the story.
So the Ambarish Maharaj,
he was of course a very great devotee of Krishna. When Durvasa Muni was visiting Ambarish Maharaj, so it was a time for him to break fast. No, the fasting, right? The next day you fast, you need to take some grain or some water to break fast, the timing. But at that time, Durvasa Muni came and...
So Durvasa Muni visited, then I think he went to take like a bath or something. And
so
he came late, and by that time the fast breaking time was getting
time,
over.
Yeah.
So then Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni is his guest. So first, as a duty of a host, he should serve the guests.
Hmm.
But now, if he waits until he comes back, then he will lose the time to break the fast, then he will lose all the credit. And of course, the credit is for the, because he's a king. King, whatever austerities they do, the benefit it goes to the people in the country or the place. So that's for them only, he's doing that. So that's why he's hesitant what to do. So then he consulted sages. Then they told, okay, if you take Charanamrita, few drops of Charanamrita, it's considered breaking the fast because you took something. At the same time, it's not breaking because you, it's like Lord's mercy you have taken. So then he consulted them, then he took that. Then Durvasa Muni comes and he hears this. And Durvasa Muni is known to become very angry. So immediately he becomes very furious. Okay, I am your guest, but you didn't, you know, like give proper this thing for me and you did all this. So I'm going to like, he, I think, did he send some weapon?
No, he created from his he created a demon.
Yeah, he created a demon to kill Amrish Maharaj. But Amrish Maharaj was so steadfast, he didn't even actually run from that place to go anywhere. Immediately he was remembering Krishna. And then Vishnu sends Sudarshan Chakra to attack Durvasa Muni, and then Durvasa Muni runs here, ither and thither, trying to escape. It's everywhere, three planetary systems he goes. But no, and even finally he goes to Vishnu also. Says, okay, please save me, save me. He says that I cannot do anything because my, you have offended my devotee, only he can forgive you. And I, only he can withdraw the Sudarshan Chakra. He has the power, only he. Then he comes back and he pays obeisance to Amrish Maharaj and begs forgiveness. Then Amrish Maharaj says Sudarshan Chakra, like, okay, don't do anything. And then he serves him at that time again. Until that time, since that time, actually it passed, 1 year it passes, Amrish Maharaj doesn't take anything other than the Charanamrita. So he waits, now he comes again, then he serves him. So these are like two things where how Amrish Maharaj is so faithful, is despite, like, you know, some demon is coming to attack and kill you. And also other lesson is that how Lord is, for Lord, devotees are more dearer than himself. That's what we'll come to actually, hopefully, in this class, in this today's section, how Krishna is called as Achyuta or Bhakta Vatsala. So we'll come to that.
Okay. So we'll go to text 20. We can recite Sanskrit together.
Atavyavastitan drishtva dhrataraashtran kapitvaja pravrutte shastra sampate danurudyamya pandava rishikesham tadavakyam idam ahamahipate.
Oh, at that time Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in the military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. But the battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna is another sign of victory because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Rama in the battle between Rama and Ravana, and Lord Rama emerged victorious. Both Rama and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Rama himself, and wherever Lord Rama is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna had no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever, and above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee lay the signs of assured victory.
So what's in the Sanskrit words, there is a Krishna's name. What's a Lord of the senses? What's the
Rishikesha.
So for devotee, Krishna takes care of the senses directly, he controls the senses. you know, mind, intelligence, he gives direct instructions what to do with it, like how, you know, for Arjuna is doing. And also in this, Prabhupada mentions about the Hanuman flag. Do anybody knows how the emblem of Hanuman came on the flag? Anybody have heard story or anything? Anybody knows?
I've heard a story, but I don't know if it's an authentic story.
Yeah, so
it seems once Arjuna was walking by and he was discussing, I forget with whom, saying that, you know, Lord Rama was so powerful an archer, he should have built a bridge of arrows, not stones. And then you know, there is a old monkey sitting there. It said that, you know, dude, you can't be saying this because it can't even bear. Anyway. So he said it can't even bear the weight of one monkey, let alone 1,000 monkeys. He said, "You're an old monkey. What are you talking about?" So he said, "Okay, let's try it." So he builds a bridge over a small portion. And, you know, every step he takes, it crumbles. He starts, you know, reinforcing it. Still no wonder. Then he starts realizing who it is. And he says, he pays obeisances. And it is Lord Hanuman. And he said, I'll grant you. But I don't know.
That's why I don't know that one. Authentic. Yeah. I have not heard. But the Mahabharata has a different story. So, Prabhupada quotes that, yeah. So, like, you know, when they went to exile, the Pandavas, so that time when they went to the forest, so everybody was sitting and even Draupadi was sitting. So that time there was a breeze, nice breeze coming from the forest. So then one, it said like 1,000 petaled lotus, it came and it fell near Draupadi where she was sitting. So then the fragrance was so, you know, enchanting. So she got attracted to that lotus flower. Then she told she told Bhima that, you know, I want, please go and get this lotus from the, it looks like it's from the nearest forest. I want to give it, you know, as a gift to Yudhishthira Maharaj. I want to, you know, present it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Bhima said, because she went through that rough time just before, right, the exile, right? So he wanted to really, you know, take care of her, like, you know, satisfy all her demands or needs. So then the Bhima started walking towards the forest or the mountain, climbing the mountain where the fragrance was coming. Then even there was no path because Bhima was so powerful, Vrakodhara, right? We read that, like, you know, he's powerful as 10,000 elephants. So he was just stepping on things, you know, all the forest animals, everybody was scared because he was making so much sound, you know, roaring, everything. Then as higher he was going through the mountains, you know, it's higher, you come across different higher the forms of life. So he was defeating everybody. So then he went and there was a lake. Even in lake there was, you know, he was taking, he was swimming and he was taking bath and all. Then after that he heard some sound, you know, very ferocious sound. Then it said that, you know, Bhima's, the air on his body stood up for Bhima. You can imagine, he is so powerful, you know, he is himself is. But for him also, because of that sound, he got scared. Then he started looking for where the sound is coming. Then he went a little bit ahead and he saw that, you know, there was a very old monkey. He was sitting with the tail, you know, that's the one which was, you know, putting the tail up and down. It was making that sound. Then Bhima said, like, you know, very rude way, because he's so puffed up, he told, "Oh monkey, take your tail away, I want to cross and I want to go to find this flower." Then that old monkey told, "No, I'm very old monkey, I don't have strength to move my tail, why don't you move it, this thing?" Then Bhima again, he was telling, you know, he was shouting, "No, you do it, no, I want to go now." Then Hanuman said, the old monkey said, "Why don't you jump over the tail? If you are so powerful, you know, why don't you jump over the tail?" Then Bhima told, "I cannot jump over the body of any animal or anything because the super soul is present. Like, you know, every the body, the super soul is present. So you cannot step. That's why in India and all, you know, there's a culture we were taught. If you touch with your food, or if somebody is sleeping, you don't cross over. So it's in our culture. So Bhima said, I cannot do that because Vishnu is also, super soul is present in your body. Then Hanuman, just to tease him, the monkey to tease him, he told, if you are so powerful, why don't you fly over? You don't have that power. Like, you know, he was just trying to poke him, make him angry. Then Bhima said, don't talk like that. I am, you know, brother of Hanuman. Hanuman just, you know, he could fly over to Lanka. I can also do that. I am also so powerful. Then monkey said, that's okay. I understand that. But why don't you do it? The monkey told him, you know, if you want to go to higher plant, the different, the mountain, if you want to go to the higher, this thing, there are more sophisticated living beings. Like they call, there is some name, heavenly beings, what they call? Gandharas.
Gandharvas.
They are more powerful than human beings, regular, you know, earthly human beings. So they will kill you. Then Bhima said, nobody can kill me. I am so, you know, powerful. Then Hanuman finally said, monkey told, just move my tail and you go. Just continue your this thing. But then Bhima, you know, with all his power, you know, just he tried first, you know, casually he tried to put his hand and he thought he's just monkey. But not even a little bit, he couldn't even shake. Then with all his power, you know, might, whatever might he had, he really tried to lift. It said that he couldn't even move an inch. Monkey tail, he couldn't even move, he couldn't even shake. Then he realized that, you know, it's not ordinary monkey. Then he paid, you know, he begged forgiveness and he paid obeisances and he asked, who are you? Then monkey told, I am Hanuman. So then Bhima asked him, like, you know, show me the form which you showed, you know, the big, when the jump, right, when he jumped to Lanka, so he grew really big, that Treta Yuga. So his form was very huge, monstrous. So he told, you show me that form, I want to see. But then Hanuman told, I cannot show you because that was Treta Yuga. That size was even big for Treta Yuga. So this is Dwapar Yuga. So it's, you know, I should not be doing,
because
it violate the rules, the nature rules, right? There are nature rules. But Bhima was insisting, you know, just show me, I want to see. Then Hanuman said, okay, let me show you. Then, you know, Hanuman started growing. So then it said that, you know, how Krishna, when he showed his universal form to Arjuna on the battlefield, so after some time, Arjuna couldn't see that form because it was so ferocious. It was so huge and, you know, all different tongue, fire, everything is coming. So here also Hanuman grew so big. So Bhima couldn't see. He couldn't see. That's reached, right? Some limit. Our senses have some limit. After some time, you know, he couldn't die. So he put his head down. Then Hanuman became, he came to normal size and he told, yeah, I'm very happy that you are there. So if you want, I can go kill all Kauravas in a second and I can, you know, give you the whole kingdom. I can bring back the whole kingdom if you want. Otherwise, I can just tie Duryodhana, I can bring him. Some, like, you know, for him, the Hanuman, it's all so minor, right? But Bhima said, you know, as a Kshatriya, because they made the vow, right? That they are going to kill the Kauravas, Bhima and all, right? So, because we have made a vow, so we want to do that. Otherwise, Kshatriya, for, you know, breaking the vow, it's dishonor. So then Hanuman said, okay, I will bless you, that you will be victorious in the battle. And also Hanuman said, I'm going to give one more boon, where I'm going to, on, you know, during the war, on the, that's what, that's emblem, flag. On a flag, I will be present as, you know, emblem. So when Bhima used to roar, they make sound, right, during the wars and all. So when Bhima roars, Hanuman said, I'm going to roar with you. That will shatter the hearts of all the enemies. So that's the boon Hanuman gave. That's why he was present in on the flag.
That's why it's called Kapidvaja.
Kapidvaja,
if you read the English translation, he whose flag was marked with Hanuman. So Kapidvaja is a meaning for Krishna, Arjuna's name.
It's a name for Arjuna.
Arjuna. So one
Kapil
had
means monkey, right?
Monkey.
Yeah, monkey.
Kapilaja.
Yeah, yeah, monkey. Yeah. Monkey. Hanuman.
That's
was
a Kapidvaja means a person on whose
flag.
Yeah.
Kapilaja
means. Okay.
Yeah.
Monkey.
Monkey.
Hanuman is the best.
So one another point about this story, when Prabhu was telling, even a very nice insight, the Hanuman is so powerful, like he destroyed the whole Ravana army, everything, right? Even now he told, I could take away, I could kill all the Kauravas and give you the kingdom. He was fully capable to do that. But at the same time, he took such a humble menial service. Okay, I'll just stay in the flag, nobody will recognize me. Nobody will give me credit. I'll just roar with when you roar, and nobody will even recognize that I roared. So he was willing to take that humble menial service because Krishna's plan now is different. During Rama's time, he gave credit to Hanuman and he asked Hanuman to do so many things. But now Krishna's plan is different. He wants to give credit to Pandavas, and he has, you know, like he wants to make Arjuna the person to, and Yudhishthira Maharaj everything. So according to this plan, Hanuman is willing to submit to that. So that's what Prabhu was telling, that's a service attitude. Whatever Lord wants, devotee is willing to do. It's not about, oh, nobody will recognize me, what credit I will get. It's not all those things. Yeah.
So?
Yeah, that's all.
Any question? Okay. We'll go to
yeah, we can put light there.
It's very nice.
Okay.
So we'll go to the text 21 and 22.
Krishna uvacha senayor upayor madhye ratam sthapayam echuta yavadyeta nirikshayam yodukamanavastitan kailmaya sahayodavyam
Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I can see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms.
So here Krishna is addressed as
Achyuta,
O infallible one. So this is what we were discussing earlier, right? So we'll see what Prabhupada is told.
What? Although Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, out of his careless mercy, he was
causeless.
Careless. Out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never falls in his affection. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, Rishikesh, the Lord of total senses.
Oh, actually, just make a note how many times while explaining Krishna's role and like, you know, what position he takes, how Srila Prabhupada establishes Krishna's supremacy. Just watch, can we read again? Although Lord Krishna, like with this, now with this in mind, let's read the purport.
Okay. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, out of his causeless mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. As charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, Rishikesha, the Lord of total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee.
he takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being giver of orders. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders and no one is above him or him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure. Although he is infallible master in all circumstances.
See, for everything he says, although he is this, he never leaves it without...
So Prabhupada, you know, here it says he takes greater pleasure in pure devotees assuming the advantageous position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. So what's the most common in his childhood pastimes, right? So what comes into your mind? Who takes that position? Yashoda Mata, right? Mm-hmm. You know that Damodar Leela? You have heard about Damodar Leela, right? Yeah, that's one.
So we should all get warmed up for Kartik now.
Mm-hmm. So basically he keeps, you know, he keeps stealing the butter, right, in every house. But at some point everybody complains and Yashoda Mata with a stick, she chases Krishna. So he literally cries with tears, he runs with fear, with lot of fear he runs. Even though he's a supreme personality of Godhead, but a devotee is taking that position to control Krishna. So same thing here, note, as he is serving Arjuna, right? So it's amazing.
Yeah, so how, like a practical example we see, right? How parents, right, they take so much pleasure when, like, to play with kids, or sometimes, you know, kids, they may dominate, but still it's such an affectionate feeling. There was, during Prabhupada's, there was one incident where one minister, somebody was waiting for him and waiting for the appointment. He came, but he was not giving the appointment. Then he was like, then the secretary went and checked what he is doing. Then he's playing a horse to his grandchild, the minister, inside the room. So for him, that is more important than this official business of meeting, right? So similarly, that's how, you know, Krishna enjoys the delicious these pastimes more sweeter than Narayana's relationship with his devotees, because that is Aishwarya Bhav. But Aishwarya. Krishna has more intimacy, because devotees are put in yoga maya where they forget that Krishna is Supreme Lord. That's how. And then here, okay, there are three meanings for the word infallible. Okay, the one mentioned here is infallible because he never fails in his affection to its devotees. That means whenever he promises to take care of his devotees or anything, he is going to keep the word. So he never fails in his affection to his devotees. That is first one. And the next one is infallible means he never falls from his spiritual position. So achyuta. Chuta means one who falls. We are called chuta.
So what's the opposite of infallible?
Fallible. Right?
Fallible.
So we are all fallible because we have left the spiritual world and we have fallen into this material world. But Krishna, even if he comes, he never loses his supreme position. That's why he is called infallible. Achyuta.
So
he is always...
Why are we called fallible?
You are separate achyuta, that means, right?
Yeah, why are we called fallible?
We got contaminated or we got influenced.
We are in that marginal position.
Yeah. So we are marginal energy. So we have a tendency to fall down to material energy or spiritual energy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when the living entity, you know, the consciousness when it gets contaminated, originally we are pure, spiritual. So when our consciousness gets contaminated, that means it becomes material. That means it's called we fall down. That's what it actually fall down means. Fall down means it's a fall down of our consciousness from spiritual consciousness to material consciousness. So that's why we are called fallible. But Krishna in this case, it's called infallible. He never falls from his spiritual position. So he always, at all circumstances, all times, he remains same, Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So actually only two meanings, these two meanings. So this, actually, if we have faith in this and if we always remember this, this helps us to understand Krishna's pastimes in a proper perspective. He will not understand that as like, you know, you and me, like that. But he is a supreme person and he is having this transcendental relationship with his devotees. So that's how we should see it. Otherwise, we consider him as one of us and then it becomes sahajyas. Sahajyas means we tend to imitate. Oh, I can also dance like Krishna. I can also do things like Krishna. So we, basically we, I see there are two problems. One is either we elevate ourselves to be God or we pull the God down to our level. People do two things, right? So like the sahajyism is like, okay, I can assume that I am at the level of God and I can do things like God.
So this verse also 21-22. So what, there is some very contrast. You can clearly see what's the main thing in this one, 21-22. Arjuna is saying something right here in this one, Senior Ubeyor Madhye. So he is
giving instruction.
So he is giving instruction. So Arjuna is giving instruction to Krishna. So that's his first instruction. Drive my chariot between the two armies.
Yeah, the servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, Lord is also seeking an opportunity to render service to the devotee. It's like, so we may think, right, only we, Lord is the recipient and okay, what do we get? We just keep giving. When we become completely pure, then Lord also gives us his love and affection to us.
And also you can just make a note of, I think chapter 4.6 verse, where, you know, always Krishna is spiritual. So you can make 4.6, 4 chapter 6 verse. That's one reference. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form.
Mm-hmm.
So even when he comes right to this material world, when he came to Vrindavana, he came in his transcendental form. So it's not one of us, like ordinary, no, with the material body. So Krishna is saying himself. So that is 4.6. And also there is one more, 9.11. So 9.11 it says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So that also, you know, he is making it very clear that he comes in his transcendental nature, not as one of us.
9.6 you said?
9.11.
4.6
and 9.11.
So actually we heard that if suppose somebody has to help Arjuna to be a charioteer, anybody from Krishna's army could have done it, right? He could have, so many servants Krishna has. But Krishna personally chose to be, because of that, because of the relationship he has with Arjuna, just to be that intimate friend. Okay, with that second paragraph, we didn't read.
It's a pure duty of Lord. Arjuna had to desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by
obstinacy
of Duryodhan, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiations. Mm. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading person present on the battlefield were. Although there was no question of peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war.
So there were two things Arjuna wanted to achieve. One is he wanted to see who are the people who came to fight,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he had a plan that okay, now I'm going to, you know, settle or like say I'm not going to fight. At this moment, at this point, Arjuna is all ready to fight. And he wants to see the opposite army. Like, that's why he says next time, Durbuddher, 23. we'll read.
योत्स्यमानानवेक्षेऽहं
यायेते अत्र समागता द्रातराष्ट्रस्य दुर्बुद्धेर् युद्धे प्रियचिकीर्षवा.
Let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Purport. It was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas by evil plans, in collaboration with his father Dhritarashtra. Therefore, all persons who had joined the side of Duryodhana must have been birds of the same feather. Arjuna wanted to see them on the battlefield before the fight was begun, just to learn who they were. He had no intention of proposing peace negotiations with them. It was also a fact that he wanted to see them to make an estimate of the strength which he had to face. Although he was quite confident of victory, because Krishna was sitting by his side.
But at that time, actually, did Arjuna know that Krishna is supreme power?
Yeah.
They were always aware of Krishna's position. But he was sometimes, you know, in the he was put in Yoga Maya also to make a delusion, so you can, you know, he can talk Bhagavad Gita Krishna.
Yeah, actually Pandavas are Krishna's eternal associates. They are not like us conditioned souls who forget. But they may forget the Supreme Lord position because of Yoga Maya, as he said. Like just to have that intimate relationship, if I always think you are supreme, I cannot play with you, right? Like that. So for that reason they are covered, but otherwise they know.
So in this verse mainly, you know, Arjuna is saying evil minded, Durbuddhi, right? So why is Duryodhana called Durbuddhi? Like why is called evil minded?
Jealousy, because he wanted to have what the Pandavas had. Yeah, so that's how it started.
So when the Pandu died, right, the father, when he died, so after they grew up, they became whatever the age, right, the little bit teenager or adolescent or whatever. So the kingdom was divided, Hastinapur and
Indraprastha.
So it was divided. So they were ruling, Pandavas were ruling Indraprastha and they were ruling Hastinapur. But then when during that gambling, so Duryodhana, somehow they, you know, they made a plan and they took the kingdom, right? So Duryodhana promised that after 13 years he will return it. So then after 13 year exile, when they came back, when they demanded, Duryodhana said he's not going to give it at all, give the kingdom back. And also he told that, you know, he will not, and they requested, Pandavas requested that, you know, just give us 5 villages. Because as a Kshatriya, they cannot live, they cannot change their nature. So if you give us just 5 villages, we'll rule that each village and we'll be happy. But then Duryodhana said, you know, not even a land where you can put a pin, you can put a stick a pin. So he was that arrogant actually. So basically, according to the Shastras, like whenever you take some other's property, you are considered a evil minded or, you know, person. So it's in Ishopanishad Mantra 1. You can look up online. I didn't get the laptop. So in that it's very clearly said, you know, you need to take Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. So you need to take whatever quota is assigned to you by the Lord. If you try to take something else, basically if you are greedy to take someone else's property, then you become evil minded.
So Arjuna wanted to the reason why he wants to keep the chariot in between the two armies, first is he wants to see who are those on the Duryodhana side, second one he wants to estimate an enemy's strength, and third he doesn't have any intention of proposing peace at that time and is still confident of victory because of Krishna's presence. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Sanjaya Uvacha Evam Mukto Rishikesho Kudakeshena Bharata सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये स्थापयित्वा रथोत्तमम्।
Sanjaya said, O descendant of Bharata, having thus been addressed by Arjuna, Lord Krishna drew up the fine chariot in the midst of the armies of both parties. Purport. In this verse, Arjuna is referred to as Gudakesa. Gudaka means sleep, and one who conquers sleep is called Gudakesa. Sleep also means ignorance. So Arjuna conquered both sleep and ignorance because of his friendship with Krishna. As a great devotee of Krishna, he could not forget Krishna even for a moment, because that is the nature of a devotee. Either in waking or in sleep, a devotee of the Lord can never be free from thinking of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Thus a devotee of Krishna can conquer both sleep and ignorance simply by thinking of Krishna constantly. This is called Krishna consciousness or Samadhi. As Rishikesha, or the director of the senses and mind of every living entity, Krishna could understand Arjuna's purpose in placing the chariot in the midst of the armies. Thus, he did so and spoke as follows.
So here Arjuna is addressed as?
Gudakesha.
Some of the names for Arjuna so far we discussed.
Dhananjaya.
Okay.
Partha.
Partha.
Did we come across already?
Partha. Then, what about monkey? Today we discuss. Kapidvaja. Kapidvaja. And this one is
Gudakesha.
And some of the names of Krishna we encountered?
Achyuta Rishikesha.
Achyuta Rishikesha.
Madhava.
Madhusudana. Oh, that's in the passport. So many names. Your son will give so many names. Okay. And yeah. Okay. So Gudakesha means?
Conqueror of sleep and ignorance.
Conquerors of sleep and ignorance. So how is, why is Arjuna called Gudakesha?
He's constantly in Krishna. Yeah.
So even in sleep, he's remembering Krishna. So that's how he's conquering sleep. Right? So one pastime was there, I don't remember a lot of details, but one night in Dwaraka, Arjuna visits Rukmini and Krishna. So in the night, Krishna says, wakes up Rukmini and says, okay, come, let's go, I want to show you something. Then they both go into Arjuna's room where he's sleeping. Then he says, okay, come close, and you hear from his body what's happening, you hear. Then she hears from every hair, Arjuna is saying Krishna's name. Every hair of his body is saying Krishna's name. Even in sleep, he is sleeping. So that's direct example to show how Arjuna is conquering the sleep. So for us also, like sometimes as neophyte devotees, you may think, oh, sleep is ignorance, I'm sleeping 8 hours. No, it's waste of time, I'm not chanting, I'm not doing work, I'm not getting promotion, nothing. Why, right? But actually, we should sleep enough to have a fresh body next day for Krishna service. If we do it that way, next day, whole day, I'm going to use my body in Krishna service, then that sleep is Krishna conscious. Then that sleep is also service to Krishna. So that whatever is needed, we can do that.
Today only I was reading about the matchless gift is there. So every time you should be in Krishna conscious. Sattvik was asking, so if you sleep, how will you think? You're answering the same thing.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. So the similar thing we discussed last time, right? How can we become transcendental? What was the practical way we can say we are becoming transcendental? See, we discussed how Krishna is transcendental, right? On a day-to-day basis, how can we measure that we are becoming transcendental? Or what is the...
activities, okay.
What is the, like, how do you judge?
The devotees you will see in other devotees' eyes, whether...
Eyes?
The eyes in the sense, like, you will see if I have...
No, it's not so esoteric, very, very tangible.
Do everything in the name of Krishna?
No, physical.
We gave example of Friday evening program, right? So, despite so many obstacles, if you choose to come to Krishna, serve Krishna, or rather, let's say, if there is outside, there is rain, or there is very nice sunlight, or there is a match outside, so many things.
Mataji, today we gave up a barbecue party.
Yeah. So despite that, if you choose to come to Krishna, then you are slowly becoming transcendental. It means these things are not affecting you anymore.
Mm.
You are fixed in the service to Krishna. So what is being transcendental means you are above the situations in the material world and you are continuously serving Krishna. So that's how practically we can be become gradually become Krishna conscious and transcendental.
Using the opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
See, whatever you did, it is transcendental. You made the right decision.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
No, that is not hopeful.
Okay. So I think that works. You have any points?
So also the guda means sleep, right? The sleep also is compared to ignorance. So that's where whenever we get the real knowledge, we can take out that ignorance. Ignorance is nothing but the main thing is we are material body. So that is one point. Then the other point is Krishna is compared to a sunlight or sun. So wherever Krishna is there, there is no darkness. So Arjuna always stays with Krishna. And in this verse, in some other place it's elaborated, like, you know, we say Arjuna, you know, is one of the Pandavas, right? He has a different designation. He is one of the Pandavas, he is son of Prita or Kunti, right? But more deeper understanding of that is Arjuna is the eternal associate of Krishna. So wherever Krishna goes, takes, you know, manifests and different pastimes, Arjuna is always present. So here also, you know, we see that, you know, Krishna is put into, next few verses you will see how, you know, he is put into some confusion and, you know, he starts showing some weakness. But that's all he is put into yoga maya. So Arjuna can, so Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is a eternal, as you should always remember, even you may come across, you know, he was put into illusion, you know, he got confused, all those things. But you should always remember that Arjuna is always an eternal associate of Krishna. So that's very important, Arjuna.
In Treta Yuga, Prabhuji, what is his role? You said he is always there with...
Always, whenever he comes.
So with
yeah.
Rama, was he around with him?
Things I didn't read, but yeah, I can do the research. And
but mainly we heard that Naranarayana Rishi is there, right?
Naranarayana.
So that's also personality of Godhead. So Narayana is Narayana, Nara is Arjuna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can go to the next one, 25. Bhishma Drona Pramukhata Sarvesham Cha Mahikshitam Uvacha Partha Pashyetan Samavetan Kuruniti.
In the presence of Bhishma, Drona and all other
chieftains
of the world, the Lord said, just before Partha, all the gurus assemble here. And the Trita Purport also.
Yeah.
As the super soul of all living entities, Lord Krishna could understand what was going on in mind of Arjuna. The use of the word Rishikesha in this connection indicates that he knew everything. And the word Partha, meaning the son of Prata or Kunti, is also similarly significant in reference to Arjuna. As a friend, he wanted to inform Arjuna that because Arjuna was son of Prata, the sister of his own father Vasudeva, he had agreed to be the charioteer of Arjuna. Now, what did Krishna mean when he told Arjuna to behold the Kurus? Did Arjuna want to stop there and not fight? Krishna never expected such things from the son of his aunt Prata. The mind of Arjuna was thus predicted by Lord in friendly joking.
So here Prabhupada is telling us that actually now Krishna knew. From this point onwards, Arjuna is now going to start making excuse saying, I'm not going to fight. That's why he's saying he knows the mind of Arjuna. Like, now he's confident, but he's going to soon say, I'm not going to fight.
Mm.
And then why Krishna addresses specifically Arjuna as Prita, Partha? Why does he address him as Partha?
Son of Kunti Prita.
Yeah, why son of Prita? Prabhupada gives one meaning.
Probably,
he's looking at them as relatives now.
We read it in the purport.
The
so why?
Sister of Vasudevas.
No, there is more. One more sentence after that. Because Pritha means, Pritha is Kunti, right? Kunti is sister of Vasudeva. By relating the relation, Krishna is saying that I agreed to be your charioteer because of the relationship. So he is assuring again that this thing. That's why he specifically called that name. Saying because you are my relative, that's why I became your charioteer.
And also there is a very interesting in this, if you notice. So Krishna is naming Bhishma and Drona in this. Did you notice that? So there are like, you know, millions of people. So he's pulling the chariot, he's driving and he's parking in front of Bhishma and Drona. So what's the main, why is Krishna doing that?
He will put Arjuna into the toughest situation now because
yeah.
He's most attached to Bhishma.
Yes, because Bhishma was the one who, because Pandu died very early, right? So he was the one who took care of them. Every need Bhishma was the, that's why he's a, you know, grandfather for both Kurus and this. And also Drona, he was the most affectionate student actually. Arjuna was the most affectionate student. So that's why he's bringing both of them and he's making, you know, see Bhishma and Drona fighting. And why is he doing that? What there is, Prabhupada says one more in this thing. So if Arjuna says, you know, okay, let me fight, right? Without any other reason, so I will fight. If Krishna says, oh, I will just go fight, he will just start fighting. So Krishna won't get opportunity to speak Bhagavad Gita. So in this case, Krishna wants to make Arjuna, you know, like, you know, I don't want to fight. He wants to make,
he wants,
you know,
to specifically draw out family affection from him.
So he wants to provoke that family affection. So when the family affection comes out, automatically, you know, you become compassion and you don't want to fight. So he was just waiting for that right opportunity. So to just provoke that family affection, so he just got in front of Bhishma and Drona, who were the most attached to Arjuna. So that's why Arjuna, Krishna is tricking Arjuna in this case.
So the last line where they said the mind of Arjuna was thus predicted by the Lord in friendly joking. So what was the joke is there is Krishna was saying, okay Arjuna, behold this Kurus, right? Then he was saying like, what's the point in looking at all of them? Anyway, you're not going to fight. That was his joke. See all of them. You see Krishna, Arjuna, you see all of them. But I know anyway you're not going to fight, but what's the point in seeing them? So that's the point.
Behold the Kurus, I didn't understand.
Behold means see them. Krishna is saying see all of the Kauravas, but internally he knows what's the point in seeing them. You are going to not want to fight. That's a friendly joking. Okay, we'll just cover this last two verses. Is it okay? 5 more minutes? Because then it will come to a new section. So last two verses. 26. Okay, Mataji. Oh, Sanskrit. Tatra tatra pasyastitan partha pitrun ata pitamahan acharyan matulan bratan putran pautran sakin sata swasuran suhrdas chaiva seneyor upayorapi.
There Arjuna could see within the midst of the armies of both parties, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, friends, and also his fathers-in-law and witnesses. Purport. On the battlefield, Arjuna could see all kinds of relatives. He could see persons like Bhrishrava, who were his father's contemporaries, grandfathers Bhishma and Somadatta, teachers like Dronacharya and Kripacharya, maternal uncles like Sarli and Sakuni, brothers like Duryodhana, sons like Lakshmana, friends like Aswatthama, well-wishers like Kritavarma, etc. He could see also the armies which contained many of his friends.
Yeah, see if you notice the translation, all these things are relations, right? He didn't say like, okay, he saw Bhrishrava, Bhishma, Somadatta, right? But specifically Arjuna is seeing them with respect to how they are related to him. He's seeing them as like grandfathers, teachers, friends, like that. He's from his perspective. That's where this family affection is coming out now.
And also it said that this war was one of the greatest family wars because everybody was related. So, and also Prabhupada mentioned somewhere that, you know, the usually in families, I've never seen any family say, you know, we never have fight or anything. If you take even smaller families, I meant, you know, just our regular families, friends, like, you know, everybody has, for the Kali Yuga is so bad that, you know, small things will cause some friction in the families, small families. And it said that this was the biggest, greatest family war, the whole thing, because everybody was related, millions of people.
Okay, text number 27. तान समीक्ष्या सकौन्तेया सर्वान् बन्धूनवस्थितान् कृपया परया विष्टो शिशीदान् इदम् अब्रवीत्.
When the son of Kunti, Arjuna, saw all these different grades of friends and relatives, he became overwhelmed
with
compassion and spoke this.
Yeah, so now this is where his position. Arjuna becomes overwhelmed with compassion.
But that's the first reason Krishna gives, Arjuna gives, not to fight the war. It's one of the first reason, compassion.
So starting from 28 till verse number 42, Arjuna is going to systematically present four reasons why he doesn't want to fight. And the other fifth reason will be given in the beginning of the second chapter. So these are the five reasons you need to know, what they are and a little bit explanation of that. So that's why it's a new section, so we can nicely have a break. If we observe how Arjuna speaks, like, he knows Shastras, and we'll also get an example of how sometimes people use philosophy to justify their activities. Even now, like, these devotees know philosophy enough that, okay, I do something and then I can say it's perfectly Krishna conscious. So like that, Arjuna also, like, uses Shastras, and he says, you know, like, wonderful, wonderful examples and systematic charts he gives. And Krishna patiently listens everything and he waits for him to surrender in the second chapter. Then he starts talking. So, we'll see that.
Like you're saying, like, Prahlad Maharaj's father also.
Yeah. Right, right.
So Prabhuji, the 4.6, which one you said, like, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So when he appears, he has only one purpose, right? Krishna when reappears in millennium after millennium, not only in this universe, there are like billions of universes, yeah, everywhere he appears. So does the story will always be same every year, like, there will be all the time, there will be one Mahabharata in every universe, is this is for specific this universe, and they will have different.
So see, yes, every, it's same past tense are there, same things happen. They say that, but the details will be different. In some places, he will kill the person with a club. In some places, he kills with a bow. Something like that. The details will be a little bit different. Like, maybe the dress Krishna wears when Yashoda ties him will be different in different yuga, different universe, like that. Little bit details will be different. Otherwise,
it's
the past tense, the essence,
yeah,
will be same. Like same, like Damodar Leela happens every time Krishna comes, like that.
It's all variegated, yeah. It varies.
That's why Krishna's pastimes are called eternal. Like, that means at this moment, somewhere Krishna is taking birth, somewhere Krishna is lifting over the hill, somewhere is having Kurukshetra war, somewhere he's something else, like that. At this moment, right now. So all the pastimes are happening right now.
Eternally.
Eternally.